going on? This is Toki and Noah, and you're listening to Chicago Bullseye.
Give it all you got, take your very best shot, and may the best team win. The time is now, the name of the game is action. They're on the floor, and they're ready to score, so let the game begin.
Okay. Hello, Bulls fans. Welcome to another episode of the Chicago Bullseye. C-Red Fred, man, every time I talk to you, we talk so little that each time I talk to you, you're even a bigger star than the time before. I see Sylvie's texting you or tweeting you online.
Oh, yeah. Sylvie's a great guy. I'm glad he, I enjoy talking with those guys. I big picture, I call the show, and they get me right through. They, you know, I think they realize that I'm always prepared. I'm ready to bring it. And I got a general positive tone, which is, I think, sincerely lacking or severely lacking across the Chicago airwaves. So I think they kind of find it enjoyable. But I always bring the goods, man. I know what I'm talking about. And, you know, Sylvie and I have gone back and forth a lot of times. Hopefully I'm going to be guesting with them. We have a bet if Trae Young is not drafted in the top 10, I'm going to be on the show for an hour, I think. And then if he is, then I got to buy him pizza. But I'm feeling good about that bet. I think when he measures up at 5'11 or 6 foot at best, I think he's outside the top 10. I think he'll be picked 11. What say you?
I think you have a chance. I think you have a chance. But I would say, if my gut was going to bet on this, I would say that you're going to lose this bet. But hey, good for you, man. Because I think it's a good bet. You're throwing it out there. Worst you have to do is pay some pizza and maybe get to be on the Wild and Sylvie show for an hour. Are you able to get off work?
Absolutely. I'll take the week off for to get prepared. Plus, I want to take calls, man. Call in. Take your best shot. I'm ready to rock. What do you think of playoffs so far?
Studios are like right off of State Street, man. Everyone can watch you as you do the show.
Oh, it'll be awesome. You got to come on down. We'll bring everybody in. A big party. I'll bring pizza
dude,
anyhow.
I'll totally come down and watch you if you're on the bottle.
Oh, that would be great. That would be great. How about these playoffs, though, man? I don't know about you, but this has been some of the most enjoyable games I've had, starting with the complete embarrassment of Tom Thibodeau and then going, you know, all the way down to the Indiana-Cleveland series, which I think has been absolutely fascinating. What's your general take on what you've seen so far?
Well, I'd like to end with the Timberwolves because I know, Fred, you're going to have a lot to say about the T-Wolves. But I got to be honest, like, it took me a little bit to get into the playoffs this year. I mean, I felt like
really? You
didn't have a lot of very intriguing, well, just hear me out. I feel like you didn't have a ton of very intriguing matchups in the sense that you had a bunch of teams that were of, you know, moderate level in the West, and you had two teams that are better than everyone else. And in the East, a piece of the East that everyone kind of sucks. Like, I don't think there's anybody in the East that's really that good. So it took me a little bit to get going with this playoff. But now that the playoffs are going, I think the matchups, you've seen some intriguing matchups. Obviously, you have a Game 7 coming up in this Boston-Milwaukee series. I mean, in a nutshell there, I feel Milwaukee should have handed it to Boston. I mean, without Kyrie, without Gordon Hayward, the question here is are the Milwaukee Bucks this bad, or are these young guys on Boston really this good? I think it's a combination of both, but intriguing series over there. I mean, what, Philadelphia and Miami hasn't really been much of a series. Cleveland, Indiana, I'm not surprised it's this close. Cleveland sucks, and is Cleveland going to make it past even the next round? And if they make it beyond, we've talked about this, but I don't think Cleveland's going to make the finals for sure. And there's a decent chance they may not make the conference semifinals. Going out west, well, I know we're going to get into Minnesota in a little bit here, but Oklahoma City, Utah, who knew that Donovan Mitchell was this good? I knew he was good, but this good. And, you know, this really puts a storybook sort of finish here, I think, to this Oklahoma City team, because if you can't get out of the first round, we've got to start discussing here what really the future of this franchise is.
Well, there's a chance they get out now. They at least got a chance now. If they win, if Oklahoma City wins this next game, they're going in the next round. I think he's already gone. I think he's going to L.A. no matter what, Paul George. I mean, it was an interesting discussion on the Bulls Talk podcast, which is a fantastic show. I recommend to everybody about, you know, Paul George coming to Chicago, and he would be absolutely a perfect fit with that team. And he's still pretty relatively young. But I do want to go back. Let's go back to Philadelphia because we got to talk about that because, you know, everybody, oh, Philadelphia, they won their first series and, you know, all the hinky lovers are, you know, crawling out of the woodwork, declaring victory, you know, for the first playoff series that they've won since, you know, he took the job a long time ago and was rightly fired into oblivion. Declaring victory, really, because you beat Miami. What's different from the Miami team that really, if you step back and look at it, Mark, what's really different about the Miami team that couldn't get in the playoffs last year and the Bulls beat out for that last playoff spot? What's different? They added Dwayne Wade at the end of the year.
The fact that the East is a little bit worse this year.
That's exactly
so
right.
Miami was able to get a little further. I mean, I agree with you. They're not a good basketball team.
That's my point. Is like everybody. Oh, the Heat. They're a tough team. No, they're not. Is there anybody on the Heat you would rather have ahead of Lauri Markkanen? Like, there's no one even close that I would
probably
say.
Probably not. And whatever there isn't. To Hassan Whiteside.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, like, that's not really been a huge story. I mean, this is a max player, and he was barely playing in the playoffs. He averaged, my God, I'm looking right here. He had one game where he played more than 15 minutes. What is going on? Isn't he their best player?
Well, the NBA has evolved past Hassan Whiteside. You can't have bigs now that, unless they're, you know, bring something else. Like, if it's a Clint Capella who's just so good and so athletic and such a rim runner and runs up and down and plays defense, is really athletic, that's about what you need. I think Hassan Whiteside is too plodding and too slow and too 1980s to really be effective against some teams and some matchups. And he was completely useless when Embiid wasn't playing. I mean, he wasn't even on the court hardly. When Embiid was in, obviously you can use him defensively, but talk about one of the worst contracts in the NBA. That's an untradeable contract. You know, the game has passed him by.
Untradeable? Yeah, dude. $24 million, and I believe he got max time on that one.
Yes.
But you would have thought that Miami would have foreseen this. To me, this is almost GM firing type of a signing.
I agree.
You're not even playing this guy in the playoffs the following season, and this guy's making $24 million a year. And his stats this year don't dictate. I mean, when you make that sort of a commitment to a light side, you're saying we are basing our team around having a center of your talents down low. I mean, it makes absolutely
insane,
no sense,
Mark,
to me. Now, as far as Philadelphia goes, look, this team is garbage for frickin' ever, and they had a lot of bad draft picks. And, you know, good, you got two of them right. The team is finally looking like they can do something. They put some nice pieces around them in the offseason as well to kind of build this team out and make them something. Do I think that they're really that good? No. The East sucks. The East so unbelievably sucks this year because you don't have Cleveland, because you don't have a team that's dominant above everybody else, which you've had every year, really, since the Miami Heat started winning. And even back before that with Boston, you've always had at least one team in the East that could compete for a title. You don't have that this year. So I think Philadelphia is going to make the final, but only because I don't really think there's anybody else that's really that good.
That's exactly right.
Everyone's like, Toronto's so good, they're so different. Well, then if they're so good, why are they struggling against the Washington Wizards, who've been pretty bad all year? I mean, they're the eighth seed, and they, other than the beginning of the year, they haven't been that hot, and yet they're struggling against them.
I know. It's such a joke. The East sucks. No, the only guy who's going to stop him is LeBron. I still think there's a good chance of that. I do. I don't think Philly's all that either. Like, you know, they got two young players. Obviously, Simmons is an elite talent, and so is Embiid, right? No doubt about it. Those guys are fantastic. But they were winning games against the Heat without Embiid because you had Bellinelli shooting out of his – Bellinelli. It's Marco Bellinelli, a guy who was basically picked up, who was cut, basically released from the Atlanta Hawks. I mean, it's insane. Like, some of these guys, and J.J. Redick played very well for them. And, you know, everybody's giving credit to Sam Hinkie. And there was, like, two guys in that series that had an impact that were really responsible. Hinkie was responsible for. You know, and that's Embiid. He took a third pick. He was the third guy taken in that draft because he had no pressure to win. He took an injured player, and it turned out to be a home run. Congrats. And then Mario, everybody's talking about Saric. Like, that's some kind of incredible player. Really? You gave up Justin Holiday, basically, to get him. Do you think, I mean, not Justin Holiday, Drew Holiday. You gave up Drew Holiday to play him. Would you rather have Holiday or Saric? Like, he got Noel and Saric out of Holiday. Like, that's something to celebrate, you know? And, yeah, they drafted Simmons because they lucked into him. They won the lottery. Every GM in the NBA, Jerry Colangelo drafted him, number one. Every GM in the NBA.
Anybody would have taken him, too.
That's right. Every GM would have taken him, and the only reason they were in position to take him was because He drafted Okafor instead of Porzingis. He had two draft picks. I was arguing with some moron on Twitter about his first draft when he took Noel, and at 11 he took Michael Carter-Williams. Well, Giannis was 15th in that pick in that draft.
So yeah, but I hate that though. Those are bad arguments, man. Because like,
it's not a bad argument.
14 teams missed them.
No. Hold on, Mark.
I was still available. 15 places below that. It's like
14 teams didn't miss him.
Giannis was not on people's radars to that degree, and that's you got to give.
Hold on a second, Mark.
The GM some credit.
Hold on a second. 13 teams missed him because the Sixers were the only team with two picks and ahead of them. So only 13 teams missed him. The Sixers missed him twice. So if Hinkie's so stinking smart, why aren't you picking Giannis? That's my only point here is like if you're so brilliant, if you're so futuristic and you know all this stuff, you hit two busts in Michael Carter-Williams and Noel. And I don't care if you turn that into a first-round pick.
And Okafor.
Like everybody's
Okafor was a top three pick.
Well,
he's gone.
He turned Michael Carter-Williams into a number one pick. Does anybody give John Paxson ever any credit for turning Tyrus Thomas into a first-round pick? I've never heard anyone give him credit for that. Well, that's what he did. He turned him into a first-round pick with Charlotte, but nobody ever gives him credit. That's like the first thing out of every Hinkie lover's mouth. He turned him into a first-round pick. Well, shut up. The guy sucked at his job. He was terrible. He missed on Porzingis, Okafor there. He drafted Embiid and Saric and Covington are basically the three pieces after all that, you know, horrible period.
You had so many bad picks.
Oh, my gosh. It's insane.
The gimme picks worked out. And with Embiid, before the injury was like a unanimous number one pick. And then
he gets injured.
And Philadelphia, it's like, who are you going to take? I don't remember who was beyond Embiid.
That was a terrible draft.
I do remember that it was a giant drop. It was like, you either take this injured player who people have high prospects for, which I think you're going to see in this year's draft with Michael Porter Jr., which is like, either you take Porter Jr. or you're taking a guy that was just a good player in college. That's like, okay, like that does not have superstar potential potentially written all over him. And I almost say if there's somebody where you're just like, okay, this guy could just be a solid NBA player, or if this guy's healthy, he was projected to be like the best player in college, you take the risk.
Those are the guys that potentially
could get you to that level.
Yeah, it was like a no-brainer pick. He already announced the process. He already announced that we're going to suck for 4 years. What pressure were you under? Like, there was no pressure at all. You could easily take that risk. You weren't like Wiggins, a team like Minnesota, who had to take to draft Wiggins because you hadn't been in the playoffs in a lifetime. You know what I mean? Like, it's so laughable in retrospect looking at it. Like, what that guy did was some level of genius. And that's what I find so disappointing and disheartening is, like, celebrating that and saying that's a method you should follow. No, it's not. No, it's not. That's a disgusting way to celebrate complete incompetence and act like because they got Simmons. They won the lottery. They won the lottery. And again, if you would have drafted Porzingis, they wouldn't have been in position to take Simmons. It worked out. Hey, congrats. But I've also laughing a little bit as everyone crowning the Sixers as the greatest team ever. You know, Simmons was 0 for 11 from 3. That's got to change. You know, if he doesn't develop a three-point shot and he doesn't start hitting the free throw with an improved percentage, they're not going to win anything ever. And Fultz is a bust.
It's their first year doing this, man. I mean, look, he's a rookie. I have no problem with – look, Philly, you do have two great pieces. And however they got them and however, you know, ridiculously overrated the people that chose these guys are for how easy of, you know, these picks were and how many bad picks they made. The fact is at the moment they have these players. They do have a great young core. I think that if there's any team out there, if I'm LeBron James, I'm not going to Houston. There's somebody in the West that's really, really good that might beat the Warriors. And I want to keep making the finals and put myself in a position to potentially win. That's the team in the East that I'm going to, because who the hell in the East has any chance of winning a championship by adding even LeBron to their team than them, because you could put a couple extra pieces on two around and kind of round out that roster with those three guys. But, you know, keep in mind and be.
I don't think it's as much of a slam dunk as you think. Hold on. I don't think it's as much of a slam dunk as you think. Everybody's just assuming. No doubt about it, they'd be great if they had LeBron. Let's not kid ourselves. Simmons isn't a shooter. Like, to me, LeBron and Simmons are kind of similar, very similar players, demanding the ball, kind of owning the ball. I kind of look at the Bulls as another team if you dropped LeBron on Like, isn't that a pretty good fit? Having a power forward that can
no.
with 3-point range? What do you mean no? A great point guard?
No.
A great defensive point guard?
They're not good enough. Putting LeBron on our team.
Oh, putting LeBron.
I don't think we're much better than. I'm saying, why would LeBron ain't coming to Chicago? Because if you put LeBron on this team, they're not even much. They're probably not better than Cleveland is right now.
They absolutely are better than Cleveland is right now. That's where I disagree with you. You take LeBron off.
He ain't coming here.
If you take LeBron off Cleveland and you match up the Bulls next year with the pick they add, right? Whoever it is. And you match up that team trying to win, they'll beat Cleveland 7 out of 10 times. They're a better team.
Fine.
Who they're scares you on Cleveland? Mark, there's no one.
Deal with LeBron. Like,
there's Kevin Love.
There's no way LeBron's going to go to some unproven team that won 24 games this year and didn't make the playoffs.
No, I'm not saying
no
that.
Way.
27. And they were trying to lose. But that said, I'm not saying that, you know, he's going to the Chicago. I'm just saying. Everybody's just like, oh, you know, Philadelphia is a perfect fit. It's not completely perfect. It's obviously, if you add LeBron, you got a big three there. They're going to be the favorite to come out of the East. No doubt about it. Depends on, you know,
exactly.
what happens with Boston. But what I'm saying is if you drop LeBron
Where
on the Bulls next that? Year, I think the Bulls are then right there, either the favorite or top three to win the East because the East isn't good. It's just not good. And most of these teams, Washington, Toronto, that have been around for a while, they're not on the ascendancy. All those teams have horrible contracts. Boston's locked into what they are. You know, who knows how Kyrie's going to respond with that knee injury? Who knows? I just feel like the Bulls are on the ascendancy.
You think LeBron's going to play with Kyrie again?
No, never. Of course not. Why would he do that?
Never.
Well, he couldn't because Boston's capped out for the next 3 years. They have no room. Horford, you know, and all their other contracts are just – it's insane. They're going to be paying three guys about $100 million. That's why I'm saying, you know, things are – Boston has got to win next year. That's their window. And then it closes to me pretty quickly. But well, we'll see what happens. I don't know. I think it's kind of fascinating. Right now, if you had a bet –
the winner of the Boston-Milwaukee series.
See, I don't think Milwaukee's that good either. I think Milwaukee's terrible outside of, you know, Middleton and Giannis. And I mean, maybe not terrible is a little strong, but I don't think they're a good team. They played horrible down the stretch. And, you know, Boston's really young. They're not – they don't really – you know, they're a good team. They got a lot of good young players, but that's the point is they're really young. You know, Brown's impressed me quite a bit in this series, and I thought he's played pretty well. And I always liked Rozier. But
so you do think that Philadelphia will beat the winner of the Boston-Milwaukee series?
If it's Milwaukee, I think they absolutely will. If it's Boston, I give them a little bit more of a shot. I like Horford. I think he's a great defender, and I think he's a guy who could potentially match up against Embiid for a while and make him sweat. But that's a tough one. You know, I think Boston would be somewhat of a challenge for them. But I do like Cleveland or Toronto, if one of those teams comes out, I still think that both those two teams could beat Philadelphia. I think in fact, I'd favor those two teams. I'd favor Cleveland, or I'd favor Philadelphia. I favor Toronto over Philly right now. You know, next year, they're a year older, they'll be better. You know, I just don't think I'm shocked at the love that Miami was getting. I think the team's a terrible team. None of those guys to me are really that good. You know, no one's really close to an all-star.
Oh, yeah.
What? And if you look
it's
at the contract.
I agree with you. And it's sad that the Milwaukee Bucks were. When you have a player like Giannis Antetokounmpo on your team, you should be better than the Miami Heat.
Yeah.
Bottom line. And the Indiana Pacers, frankly. You should be better than those teams. They weren't that good. And so let's go to the West. Let's go to the West. I want to start off with.
I've got
the
4 minutes.
New Orleans series.
I got to run in four. I got to run in four. Really quick,
you
though.
You might have to do a diatribe on Minnesota on your own.
Well, what's your thoughts on the departure, Tom?
About the New Orleans-Portland series was I never expected that. I mean, this is just clear as day how bad Portland really is, how they are one of those just regular season teams that are going absolutely nowhere. I mean, the New Orleans Pelicans had no business sweeping the Portland Trail Blazers. But as far as Chicago fans, what this goes to show is the player that Nico really has become. Because, come on, this team lost Boogie. They lost Boogie. And there were periods when Boogie was gone before they got Nico that they weren't even in the playoffs anymore. They nosedived. They get Nico, and that's been the piece that's made them become as competitive
no,
as they
hasn't.
Are.
How, Gosh, I mean, this almighty is Mark.
The end of the road right now. But I just want to say this.
Give me a break.
Our whole season can be summed up by Nico Mirotić because he screwed us so much more than it seems on paper. Because the fact is, we long before we traded him, it was evident that he was playing very well. I think his stock had gotten to a point where we could get rid of him. And we let him play, and we let this team keep freaking winning, despite the
Mark,
fact that he's
stop.
Already kind of
stop.
Plateaued.
Hold on a second.
And then
Nico Mirotić went to... Nico Mirotić went to the Pelicans.
How good he is,
and sucked.
His team goes and wins 27 games. At the end of the day, I think if we knew that we had our heads up our asses, which we did, if we knew that going into this and that we were going to win something like 27 games, we should have kept Nico Mirotić. We were supposed to tank, and we didn't do that. And now Nico's on that team, making that team.
No, he's not.
Formidable playoff.
You sound like every other dope who told me about the great heroics of Nico Mirotić. While Holiday and Davis combined for 88 points. When Nico showed up, he had career lows in shooting percentage. He played awful for the Pelicans for large swaths of his time there. And people were like, well, look how good they're playing. They were playing good because of Anthony Davis, period. Anthony Davis and Holiday, period. Not because of Nico. I'm sure he had a couple. He did have a couple decent games. He did help. He helped stretch the floor. I understand all that. Nico Mirotić in the set.
He averaged 20-10 on 58% shooting, 42% from
when?
Three for
when?
That series. That's huge.
For the series, he had a 30-point game in there. Not for his time in New Orleans. He was terrible when he joined that team, and they still won because of Anthony Davis and Holiday, who could be the most underrated player in the league. How good that guy's been playing. He throws up 41 points, and people are talking to me about Nico, and I just like, shut up. Just shut up and jump out a window. It's not because of Nico. It's because of Holiday and Davis. And those guys are playing at an elite level.